Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
Let's have a word of prayer before we start tonight, shall we? Father in heaven, I thank you for the privilege of being able to share your word tonight. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will anoint your word, that you will allow us to receive something from it, that you'll bless it, Lord, and bless those who have come. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, tonight, if I had a title to throw with this, it's in your bulletin. I gave you a bulletin. The reason I did that is not just because I'm trying to impress you with a bulletin. It's because I want you to take it home and take some time to go through it. From my experience, a lot of times when you hear someone share a message, you may pick up one point. You go out the door and you, if you're lucky, you remember one thing. This way you can take it with you and you can go back through the points. And some of the blanks, which many times would have been filled empty or would have been empty, I filled them up so you can follow along with me with that. Also, there is a section for a small group. If you've got family, you want to get together with somebody, even husband and wife, and you want to go over those questions, I would urge you to go ahead and do it. What I'm going to share tonight is a tremendous thought that was given from David, and we looked at David 2 weeks ago, and if you remember, we talked about David and Goliath the giant, and David had a tremendous victory 2 weeks ago. In fact, I guess if I rename this, I would call it fall risk. Now, the reason I would do that, because when I was in rehab, I had to wear this bracelet, and it was a colored bracelet, and it identified that I was a fall risk. And I had to, as many of you know, I had to walk around with my, either ride in my rider, my walker, or a cane, and they made it very clear that I was a fall risk, and some of the stuff I was trying to do, I wasn't supposed to do. And I think what happens is we get the cart ahead of the horse and we try to move a little faster. So the other reason is because this is about a fall. It's about fall risk, and it's about a fall of a guy who we covered a couple of weeks ago who has done exceedingly well. In fact, things have gone very well for David after he killed the giant, after he slew the giant. In fact, if we were to look at it from our point of view in the scriptures, David, as we know him, that killed the giant, moved up in rank. He proceeded to grow among the ranks of the armies of Israel. As a matter of fact, David rocketed to status. He shot right up. He had new friendships. He had new connections. And as you read the scripture, if you'll follow along, and not right now, but I'll read along here in chapters 18 through 21, you will find out that David had gained great prosperity. As a matter of fact, in 1 Samuel, it indicates that whatever Saul sent him to do, David did it so successfully that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. This pleased all the people and Saul's officers as well. In everything he did, he had great success. Now here's the key. Stay with me. Because the Lord was with him. David had great success. In fact, you might say that David was living the dream at this point. But be careful. David missed what a proverb said to him. Proverbs 30, verses 7 through 9 says, "Two things I ask you, O Lord, do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of my God." You see, the problem we're dealing with at this particular passage is the taste of success exposes us to temptation. And the temptation is to say, "Who is the Lord?" Success moves us into a place where we have to be careful, because once we come to a place where we begin having enough success, we begin becoming prideful and we start boasting. You see, David had this taste of success. And the problem is, if we have it, we come to the place where we say, you know what? I've accomplished all this. Isn't this great? I've accomplished all this in my power and my ability. I know there's a danger in that, knowing my background and coming from church growth. I understand you can get caught in this horrible trap. And David fell into the trap. If you remember last time we talked, we ended up looking at David's philosophy as he approached the giant Goliath. You know what his philosophy was? Totally different than where he's at in these passages. He said, "It is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's." We have a tendency to forget that the battle is the Lord's. And when we have a lot of success, we kind of say that the battle's ours. And it's all about me and the I, etc. It's a dangerous place to go. But if you go forward just a few weeks, David has been given a lot of riches. He's got a tax exemption going. And he is at high rank. He's married into the royal family, now being the son-in-law. I mean, wow, this guy's just really moving up. But the description of David in battle is different in 1 Samuel 19:8. Once more, war broke out. So another war breaks out. And David went out and fought the Philistines. He struck them with such force that they fled before him. Now, here's the key in the passage. David now has become powerful. David has become strong. But here's the problem. It's no longer about the Lord. You get it? There's a major change that's taking place in his life. His success has gone to his head. And so it's not about the Lord anymore, and it's not a lot about what the Lord can do. Now it's about what David is doing. And we have to be careful in the church. You see, when it's no longer about doing things the Lord's way, guess what? Now it's about doing things David's way or our way. When we start and we come to the place where it's about the way we're doing things, and I'm going to elaborate on that in just a moment, the reality is it shows us what success has done to David's heart and it can do to our heart if we're not careful. You see, we're about to see what really is going on in David's heart in these passages. The progression of falling away from God is by doing it your way instead of God's way. It's a progressive thing. And the first thing that we see David, it happens to him. It's a good lesson for us, because as I was looking at this, I always believe that God has to speak to me first before I can share it with you. And God spoke to me in this passage this week about what was going on in David's heart, and I had to relive some of my yesterday. I always wondered why God allowed us to build Swanton. 12 years, blood, sweat, and tears, and prayers, physically build it, man hours put in as we hammered the nails, cut the wood, etc. It was a collective effort by the congregation. And then 12 years later, God calls me to leave. I never understood totally. All I knew that God called me, so I obeyed God's will. God called me, and a lot of people asked me, but why? Until I read this passage again and I was looking at it, I realized something. God was protecting me. You see, God took me to a place called New Jersey, Tom's River. The church in New Jersey was in serious trouble. It had become decayed and fallen apart, and the people were doing their thing instead of God's thing. I couldn't quite understand that at that time, because I knew that I had an opportunity down in Ohio, Kentucky, actually, right at the border, a beautiful opportunity. I went and interviewed the church. It was a brand new church, beautiful inside. Man, it was so glorious. I thought, wow. Then they were just building right on a mountaintop overlooking this great valley in Ashland, Kentucky. And the valley was so beautiful, they were building a parsonage, a giant parsonage up there. I thought, wow, this is really great. But then God, on my same journey, when I left there meeting with the board, I went to Tom's River. I had set it up in New Jersey. When I got to New Jersey, it wasn't quite the way I would expect it to be. In fact, if you know anything about churches, it was one of those district superintendents' opportunities. And that's what they used to say. Well, we have an opportunity for you. An opportunity meant the church is in real trouble, and you're going to have a lot of pain and suffering through this. It was called a turnaround church. It needed to be turned around, and mission, it lost its mission. What was its purpose for? Was its purpose to win people to Christ, or was its purpose to glorify the building they had built, etc.? So I realized that God had protected me. Why did I end up in Tom's River? I refused the offer that came from Kentucky, got a unanimous call, and I said no to that call because I felt that the Holy Spirit was directing me to Tom's River. All these years, I couldn't figure it out. And then I realized what it was all about. You see, when I was in Swanton, things were going very well. We had remarkable growth. As a matter of fact, we were known as the Miracle Church. We had won more souls than any of the 66 churches on the district. God was blessing the church. We had built two buildings, and the first we had came in at $92,000. It was a $350,000 plant. God was just blessing and winning people. But I realized when I built the second phase, which would seat 500, that the church had to make some changes. And one was this. Thank you, sweetheart. She's my precious girl. She passes all these things out. She's quick on her feet. I had realized as we were doing the second building and the second phase that the people had become had focused inward. They came into maintenance mode. I remember telling the board and the church, if when this second building is built, if you do not continue to evangelize and win people to Christ, this building will just be an edifice that is bringing people glory and not God. It will not continue. And so God removed me from it before I had went through that horrible moment, took me out to New Jersey, and I didn't realize what God was doing. You see, when you're having that kind of success in the Christian world, here's what happens. You get letters from districts from all over the United States. They look at your stats, they look at your success, and they call you, and they send letters to you, and they want to draft you into their state, and they always got these deals for you. It's another one of those opportunities. Until you get out there and you find out it's not such a good opportunity. I had those, and I was blessed, and I thought, this is great. And then they tried to trap me by sending me to Anaheim, California, to speak at the Los Angeles Dodgers bowl out there. 50,000 people came in. I thought, that's a great crowd. That looks good. But you know what? It wasn't where God wanted me. It was a trap. It was a trap to say, oh, look at the success that I have. And thank God through the Holy Spirit, He guided me to New Jersey. Mary and I could not for years understand what came out of New Jersey that was good, but we do know what was good. And we do know that God had protected us, and He kept us from going through exactly what David was going through. Because when you experience success in the kingdom of God, the problem is there's a temptation to fall away from God because the temptation's about me now. It's about I did this, I built it. And so in the progression of a fall, I put in your outline that it started with a lie. It started with a lie for David. As a matter of fact, David answered Ahimelech, the priest, the king charged me with a certain matter and said to me, no one is to know anything about your mission and your instructions. You know the background if you read it. Saul's after David. He's lost it. He's tried to hit him with a spear, pin him against the wall, and David's taken off. He's gone to the temple. By the way, the only temple. It's the place where there was a lot going on, and David is on the run, but he doesn't tell the high priest that he's on the run. He lies to the high priest. He says, the king charged me. That never happened. The king never told him to do that. As a matter of fact, the king was out to kill him. You see, the conversation that David had is laced with lie after lie after lie. I came from a church background that the big deal was numbers. Every year we turned in all of our stats. And I used to talk to pastors because pastors would, honestly, there was two counts. There was the congregational count, and then there was the pastoral count. The congregational count was, let's say, 250, but the pastoral count had to be 350. It just changed all of a sudden. And I knew pastors that the count, the numbers had to be padded. They had to be higher. And so what they were doing was they were lying about what they were doing. Well, David's fall began with a lie. And David, all of a sudden, now finds himself in a conversation in verses that are laced with lie after lie after lie. Did you want something, honey? I know you're thinking about me, aren't you? Okay, if anybody needs anything, you see they get it, will you? Did you want to come up here? Come on. Come on, sit here, because you know you're a queen for the night. Come right up here. This is my adopted granddaughter, Annalise. She was with us 2 weeks ago, and she's a sweetheart, and she's got fast legs and runs all over. So have a seat there, honey, will you? So the second thing is here, that lies progress to disobedience. That's what was happening to David. As a matter of fact, 1 Samuel 21:6, so the priest gave him the consecrated bread, since there was no bread except the bread of presence. Well, sounds like a technicality, but here's what it is. It's holy bread. David is about to take hold of holy bread. It was known as showbread or bread of presence. It was kept in the tabernacle. This was not just a tabernacle. This was the one and only tabernacle. It was God's dwelling place. And when the priest entered the tent, and only a ceremonially clean priest was allowed to enter, he stood in the holy place. If he were to proceed or move further, he would enter into the back one-third of which was the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. And only the high priest was allowed to enter the Holy of Holies to make atonement for the people of Israel. The Holy of Holies was very definitely God's dwelling place. You see, the bread that David was about to take was consecrated. It was known as, we've just said, the holy bread. And there were 12 loaves in all. One was to represent each of the 12 tribes of Israel. It was prepared once per week by a ceremonially clean Levitical priest. It symbolized the presence of God watching over the 12 tribes. So David's about to partake of it. The 12 loaves were put on a solid gold platter and placed on the holy table of showbread. And the table of showbread was made from the finest acacia wood overlaid with gold. It was never to be touched by human hands. Never. As a matter of fact, as David went in to eat the showbread, he found out that it was located right next to the holy place, which was accessible only to the high priest and only after elaborate cleansing processes and preparations. You see, the Spirit of God dwelt 15 feet away from where David was at, only 15 feet in the Holy of Holies. Now, David is just about ready to take this bread and eat this bread, that which he is not even allowed to touch. You still with me? He's not allowed to touch it. Outright disobedience David does in the face of God. So David now is getting himself in trouble. He's lied. He's committed disobedience in the face of God. And the priest even warns David. He says, the priest replied, the sword of Goliath is here. Well, just prior to that, David has said, it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. What's going on here? David, all of a sudden, wants an instrument. He wants a weapon to fight his enemies in the Holy of Holies. But the only thing in there is the sword that he took from Goliath and cut Goliath's head off with. So what is David about to do? He's about to do something that is not even speakable. You see, David wants a symbol of worldliness to fight the battle. What's David done? He's moved away from God's hand. You see, he's moved away from it, and he's come to the place where he's going to do it in his own way. As a matter of fact, not only his own way, but he's going to do it with the sword that belonged to the very enemy that he killed. He's turned to a worldly way in the world. I mean, the priest even counters him and says, but David, you don't want that, do you? And David says, there is none like it. Give it to me. He's placed his faith in this symbol. He's doing things now David's way. What a cost. A cost that's about to be very high, and he's going to have to pay it. All because David is in a different attitude. He's in an attitude now that it's all about me. It's all about me. Like all falls, David happened very quickly over a long period of time to fall. I mean, I don't understand all of that, but I do know this. You don't want to get into a place to where you become so important and you have so much pride and you have so much success that you lose the admonition that, wait a minute, God built it. Let me tell you something about what we're doing here. Heritage is about ready to bring in a third guy, Pastor Eric. Wonderful pastor. I'm excited about him coming. I believe Pastor Eric, like everybody else on the team at Heritage, is about doing it God's way. I can remember those words that were told to me. It's a God thing. I've talked with Pastor Fry about this. This church is a God thing. It's a God thing. There's very few like it. With the Spirit and the unity and the presence of God here through the Holy Spirit. But here's the danger. If it comes to the place to where it's not God's thing anymore, but it's our thing or my thing or your thing or somebody else's thing, then I'm going to tell you something, God's not running it. But if we keep it on track the way that it is, we say, you know what? God made this place. It was a God thing. God has caused it to grow, to build, to win people to Christ. Everything that this church is about is a God thing. If we forget that, we're going to be in trouble. Now, you say, well, Pastor, does that just mean leadership? Oh, no, wait a minute. You know what? You teach a class. You have a ministry in the church. You think the ministry is all about you. You think you're the one that's built it. You're the one that's seen it grow. You're the one that caused this and caused that. No. When you start thinking that way, it's about you and not God. I can remember years ago, there was things that were happening that it meant it was moving God's way. And when it's moving God's way, you got to keep it moving God's way. So tonight, I want you to give this some thought. I had a guy when I went to New Jersey come into my church. He was running a bus ministry. It's the only time I'd experienced this, but I have to tell you, because maybe it'll help illustrate what I'm talking about. He was going down into the lower income community homes, and he was picking up kids off the street. Now, when I say that, I literally mean he took babies off of the sidewalk that were out playing, got them in the bus, and was bringing them to church. And so some of the leaders of the church told me about it, said, Pastor, we've got this one guy, he goes out there and he fills the bus up with kids that he's just picked up off the street. So I said to him, well, does he have permission slips? Do the parents know that they're coming to church? No. No, he just goes out and picks them up. And when he found out about it, I asked him to come and talk to me about it. He came into my office, stood on that side of the desk, and he said, nobody is going to tell me what to do with my ministry. I said, you don't have a ministry. Well, yes, I do. And I said, well, if you think that you do, I want to tell you, you've just been fired. Oh, my gosh, nobody has ever talked to me like that, especially a pastor. You can't talk to me like that. I said, yeah, I just did. You don't have a ministry. Why? Because the liability of that church was so high that mom could come out and say, somebody kidnapped my baby. I sent him out there to play. This bus drove up, put him on the bus, and brought him in. You see, what happens is, and that was the seriousness of it, it had become my ministry. I want to tell you something. Everything that happens here is God's ministry. Are we instruments of helping and working? Absolutely. Does God call us to serve in it? Absolutely. But let us never forget the heir of David, that all of a sudden it's become so important that it's not God's way, but it's my way. Well, you can look over the outline and read it for yourself. And next week, I want to talk about the cost of David's fall. I've left that fairly empty. But David paid an awesome price for his choice not to do it God's way, but to do it his way. As a matter of fact, the cost was a great one. Now, here's a little note to leave you on. And I had to throw this in because I thought by now you'll all be bored and half asleep. There was a little middle-aged couple who had been arguing for months about an expensive sports cars. She wanted something that would go 0 to 200 miles in under 4 seconds. Her final offer was, "My birthday is coming up, dear, so surprise me." And he did. For her birthday, he bought her a brand new top-of-the-line bathroom scale. And the conclusion is that services are now pending. So I pray that that's been helpful tonight, that you can grab a hold of a little bit of that. I didn't want it to make, you know, forever sermon out of it. But I challenge you to read those passages in 1 Samuel. They're pretty exciting to see the downfall of a man who made it to the top. You know, I guess you might say he went from the White House to the outhouse. And it can happen to any one of us. Any one of us can think so much of ourselves that all of a sudden it becomes our way and not God's way. Let's pray. Father, will you bless our thoughts tonight, the scriptures, the word of God? Will you lift them up before your people, and will you open our hearts and our minds to receive something individually that you have brought to us? In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.